am Jeff Garcia, and this is Locked On Spurs. Welcome back to Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And if you have a smart speaker, you definitely need to tell that smart speaker to play Locked On Spurs or any other Locked On NBA show. Just say Locked On Spurs or Locked On Celtics or Locked On Thunder. And that team podcast will just start playing. So make sure to go to your smart speaker and simply say Locked On Spurs and enjoy. But what we're going to do today is talk about tonight's big matchup. Spurs versus Thunder, the first meeting between the two teams. It'll be in San Antonio, and we're going to just break it down. What's going to happen? Who needs to step up, et cetera, et cetera. So to do that, I am once again joined by Gerald Tracy. And Gerald, you had to be on this show because you're actually, your roots are actually Oklahoma City.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, born in Oklahoma, raised up in Fort Worth. You know, I was honestly never a big NBA fan until 2007, 2008, around that time. And once they got a team, I was like, you know what? Let's do it. Let's grab it. And I was lucky enough to, you know, go to school in Oklahoma and be able to cover the Thunder for a few years. Exciting time and good team to cover. And what I like about them is they're actually based, they base their franchise and how they work on the inside off the Spurs.
Yeah.
So coming down here and covering the Spurs some. It's not that big of a transition, so I'm kind of used to the way they work things.
Yeah, and before I continue, my apologies, Gerald. Gerald is actually with News 4 San Antonio. He is my colleague out there, and make sure to give him a follow on Twitter, at GTracySA. So sorry about that, Gerald. But let's go ahead and dive right into this. So, look, you kind of hinted to it. The Spurs and Thunder, they kind of have a link. The biggest link would have to be Sam Presti. You know, he got his start in San Antonio before going to OKC to become the GM. And what do you think? You know, what do you think of his job since taking over the GM spot?
Oh, man. I mean, he's done a great job, obviously. There's some things where people are clearly going to hit on him and count his dings on his resume whenever they look back on whenever his career does end. I think one of the biggest ones, obviously, being the James Harden trade.
Yeah.
But you look at that one, even that one. It's a bad trade, but it's a good trade. You get rid of a guy who ends up being an MVP in the league, one of the best scorers we've probably ever seen and probably going to see for a while. However, you also got Steven Adams, and this is a time where the what you've seen from Steven Adams in recent years, how he continues to grow, turn into Aquaman and everything. you look at it and it's like, well, you lost James Harden, but you gained Steven Adams.
Yeah.
And it's find a man like Steven Adams today. He's a big part of the Thunder, how they roll things, and he's continuing to grow into kind of that third role of the big three for the Thunder. And, I mean, of course, you would always want to have James Harden, but who does the Thunder have at center if you don't ever get Steven Adams?
Yeah, so. Exactly. You know, there was that time when they – I say a big four – with Harden, Westbrook, Durant, and Ibaka. I think Ibaka, he did a world of good for the Thunder. They made a run to the NBA Finals and came up short against Miami, Gerald.
Yeah, that was that obviously hurts for a lot of Oklahoma City fans. And it's a big four. But that ending to Ibaka's tenure in Oklahoma City was interesting just because 1 year, you know, he's in the paint. You know, 15-foot jumpers, 12-foot jumpers, blocking, amazing defender.
Mm-hmm.
And the next year, he's over here shooting 8 threes a game, and he's not hitting one
of
them. So it was weird. Ibaka's also had a little bit of a revitalization up in Toronto. He's playing better, kind of back to his roots. But it's an interesting pick. I mean, that goes back to that James Harden trade because they picked mm-hmm. Ibaka over Harden.
Yeah.
You wonder, are you able to still get Steven Adams if you give away Ibaka instead?
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's all hindsight. We all can't be Captain Hindsight. We can't go back in time and change it. Fact of the matter is the Thunder have continued to be a dominant team in the West, even throughout all the changes the franchise has seen in recent years, minus the one missed playoff year. And that was even with Kevin Durant, but that mm-hmm. was that Russell injury, Kevin injury type year. So it's an interesting team to cover. It does remind me a lot of the Spurs. Obviously, not as much success as San Antonio has had,
mm-hmm.
but it is one of those teams where you look at and they're always that piece away, and you've always got to wonder, like, is this the year?
Right.
I think they are a coach away. Billy Donovan's been good, but he's no Greg Popovich.
Obviously. Yeah.
You're not going to find Popovich everywhere. You're going to find a coach like him everywhere. But there are some coaching decisions that I question from Donovan.
Yeah, this Spurs Thunder team, they definitely have history, not only in the front office. We mentioned Presti. In the postseason, they've met a handful of times, had classic battles, and also in the regular season. But speaking of the regular season, as mentioned tonight, Spurs Thunder. Gerald, it is the second game of a back-to-back for San Antonio. So let's dive into the San Antonio side right now. How does that factor into tonight's contest?
It's interesting because I was looking at it actually before we got on the phone, and the way the Thunder played the last two games compared to the way the Spurs are on the last six, seven games or so, the Spurs probably going to win this one, in my opinion. But then you also look at the fact it's a back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the Thunder losing Nerlens Noel, he's day-to-day. They still haven't announced whether he'll play or not. It doesn't sound like a big hit, but it is, because there's not many other guys who are able to play that center spot for the Thunder other than Steven Adams. So you've got to wonder, you know, the Thunder are a little bit fatigued right now. They do have a break. So it's going to be interesting, because you got one team who's on the second leg of a back-to-back, third game in 4 days. Are they going to be ready mentally and physically?
Mm-hmm.
And then you got the Thunder who are a little bit hindered, a little bit walking limp coming into this game.
Yeah, not only did they lose Nerlens Noel, and by the way, for those of you all who do not know what happened versus the Minnesota Timberwolves, he pretty much got elbowed or just basically forearmed into the head while challenging Wiggins' shot. He came down in a heap. Obviously, it was a concussion. He kind of went limp, and likely he'll be in the concussion policy with the NBA. So he'll likely be out tonight versus San Antonio. And a quick aside, this is recorded before the Spurs take on the Memphis Grizzlies last night. So, you know, things may have changed moving forward. But, you know, considering that, the Spurs are coming off a game versus Memphis. Hopefully they did win that. But one thing that I'm worried about, Gerald, is this. When it comes to the second game of a back-to-back for San Antonio, they're horrible. They stink up the joint. Overall, heading into tonight's contest, San Antonio is 1-6 on the second game of a back-to-back this season. Gerald, my biggest fear is exactly what you hit on, tiredness. You know, they're spent versus a Thunder team that had a day off that is going to want to erase the taste of losing to Minnesota. They're going to come in fresh. San Antonio is going to come in a little bit of exhausted.
Yeah, they'll come in exhausted. And like you said, Thunder will be in fresh. And this is a Thunder team who hasn't lost more than two games in a row, I think, since the beginning of the year, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So when they started 0-4. So you're looking at them trying to get back on track. They didn't play terrible in the Minnesota game. I want to understand. They played really bad in the Washington game. This Thunder team has only had two bad games, really, since the beginning of the year. It was against Dallas, I want to say, in November, and then that Washington Wizards game just the other night. Minnesota, they didn't play terrible, bad last-second choice, last-second shot. So you look at this game, and yeah, you're right. I mean, and this is a team, again, where it lives and breathes through Russell Westbrook and the way he plays. Russ hasn't been playing well. This game is a national game. It's on TNT. It's against a team with history against the Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're fresh. If Nerlens Noel was healthy and he was playing in this game and he's not the end all be all for the Thunder, I think I might take the Thunder in this one. But right now, I'm still kind of on the fence.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up because they are playing at home, though. They being the Spurs, they're playing at home. Home is pretty much where they've been, you know, having some home cooking. They play well. San Antonio, they've been improving on the road. They still have a well below 500 record away from San Antonio. But when it comes to playing West teams at the AT&T Center, Spurs are 14-2, so they handle business. And to top things off, they have won six straight games against OKC in the Alamo City. Gerald, history is kind of leaning towards the Spurs' favor, but the only knock on the Spurs is you know, the second game of a back-to-back where they stink it up.
Yeah, history definitely is on the Spurs side, but history was also on the Trailblazers side last week for the Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
Thunder hadn't won in Portland. I want to say it was eight games in a row. They go into Portland, they pull that one out, they get their first win there in like 2+ years. So that's, I mean, history is a good thing to look at sometimes, but it's also completely different teams, obviously. Yeah. This is a team now where the Thunder are rolling. Paul George is averaging 33 points a game in the last 10, I want to say. Averaged 32-plus in December. He's averaging around 31-plus in January. I mean, really, I think this game, the key to the game, I know I'm probably getting a little ahead of myself, and I'll get into this more later, is the Derek White versus Russell Westbrook matchup.
Yeah, and what a great way to take our first break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about exactly what Gerald just mentioned, White versus Westbrook. Okay, we are back, and I am joined by Gerald Tracy, News 4 San Antonio. Follow him on Twitter, at GTracy. Gerald, right before the break, you brought up what you think is a key matchup. And that is perhaps could be White versus Westbrook. We know what White has been doing. He's been wrecking it of late. I know you probably have some numbers for that, but you know, we're talking about the defending MVP of the NBA here. I'm sorry, a former NBA MVP here, a guy who can drop a triple-double almost at will. Is this such an edge to Westbrook that White has no chance tonight?
I don't think he has no chance. I actually think he has a better chance than some people may be giving him. Westbrook has played pretty inconsistently this year. He's had, you know, he'll go off one game for 45 points, 12 rebounds, and like 15 assists. And then the next game, he'll have 8 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists, and he's shooting 3 of like 18. So Westbrook has, it's been a little inconsistent. The only thing you can say good about Westbrook's play this year that's been consistent is his defensive play. So that's where I'm thinking it's interesting right now because, you know, Russ, you're not going to, you can't stop him. You can only hope to contain him.
You're right.
And so Popovich knows that. Derek White knows that. So I'm not sitting here saying, you know, Derek White needs to hold Westbrook to a double-double or he needs to hold Westbrook to 15 points because that comes with how the game flow plays and what happens throughout the game. What Derek White's going to have to do is find out how to score on Westbrook because Westbrook and the Thunder are averaging about 11 steals, 10.6, I think is what it is, per game. That's a hell of a number. And if Derek White being the point, I know DeMar is going to also take control of it, but you're going to have to find a way to keep that number down. If the Thunder have 8 steals before the half, I think they're losing that matchup.
Yeah, well, look, I think White is going to be tested tonight versus Westbrook. Westbrook is a completely different animal. I don't think White has faced a player at that caliber, a guy who can just have that extra gear on the break, who's relentless on the board, who is fierce, he's feisty, not afraid to bark at White if he needs to. And White, you know, he's very quiet, he's very reserved. I've spoke with him before, post-pre-games this season, his rookie season. He's very, you know, kind of a quiet talker. So we'll see how he responds if Russ Brooks tries to get under his skin. Gerald, for me, though, you're absolutely right. I think that matchup is going to be a fabulous matchup to watch. But for me, is how are the Spurs going to respond without Rudy Gay again, out with a sprained left wrist? He will not be in action. I think Gay would have been huge versus the Thunder tonight. They're not going to be without him. So I'm looking at a guy like Davis Bertans. I'm looking at DeMar DeRozan. I'm looking at Bellinelli. I'm looking at just who. What player on the San Antonio roster is going to step up? Because without that athleticism, really somewhat of an athleticism that Rudy Gay provides, I think the Spurs could be hurting tonight versus OKC.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to hurt them at least whenever the starters are in for OKC.
Yeah.
When those starters are in, they're going to be able to like attack that weakness, and you know it's going to come. Because this year has been great for Jeremy Grant in that fourth spot for the Thunder. Jeremy Grant has been fantastic. Problem is, when he's off the court, most of the time, they're either putting in Nader or Patrick Patterson. And Patrick Patterson just isn't the same anymore. He's not playing well. He's missing wide-open corner threes, which used to be the only thing he could hit. And he's missing defensive play a lot. So I'm thinking that whenever Grant's off the court, how are the Spurs going to react to that and be able to control the game? So absolutely, it's an interesting prospect right there with Rudy Gay out. You also got Terrence Ferguson, who's played really well defensively in the two spot. How is he going to play against DeMar DeRozan? Because I got to think most of the time, if it's not Paul George on DeMar, you're going to see Ferguson on DeMar.
You know, let's, why don't we just stick with some more guard talk? Again, I think I give the edge to OKC tonight because, fine, you know, they got Westbrook, but they also got Dennis Schroeder. I can never, I always had a hard time pronouncing the name, Schrader or Schroeder. Schroeder, thank you. He's not somebody you just ignore. He may look be babyface, but this guy is feisty. He can drop a double-double on any team. I think the Spurs guard and their depth and their defense are really going to be tested tonight versus Dennis and Russell. And look, in the win and the loss over the Timberwolves, you know, Dennis got into it with a former teammate, Jeff Teague. So this guy won't back down. Is the guard spot the biggest advantage for the Thunder, or is it a different area that I'm not seeing?
No, I think you're definitely right on that one. When you look at the Thunder this year, it is something at the guard spot specifically. It's been something they've always missed. You've always, when you've watched Thunder in recent years, you've seen the high-paced offense, the fast-moving, getting shots off early, dunking, passing the ball super quick for about 80% of the game. And then when they bring in their backup point guard, whether that be Derek Fisher, Raymond Felton, whoever it may be at the point, the game pace slows dramatically, and enabling the defense to take a breath and get ready for when Russ and the starters come back in. This year, when you've had Dennis Schroeder in, I mean, this guy's a guy who's averaging 15-plus a game, averaging more than 7 assists a game. He's the kind of guy who's playing just like Russ, fast pace, a little controlled chaos, you could say. And so the defense really doesn't have a time where they're like, okay, we can take a break or we can relax. There's a slower paced game because the Thunder are going at opponents 100%, almost 100% of the game.
Right.
So that, I mean, yeah, I just have to, because I mean, with the, when the Spurs take out Derek White, you're like, okay, well, how's the game slows down a little bit. The benches, I'm trying to be a little more methodical and slow things down. So it's an interesting thing, but when you got them, when you got your opponent on the heels of their feet, never a bad thing.
On the opposite side, though, do the Thunder have anybody that can contain or at least try to slow down DeMar DeRozan?
Definitely. That's the Thunder, last time I checked, they were still the number one defensive rated team in the NBA. If they're not still, they're either number two or three. Paul George has been playing lights out defensively.
There you go. Yep.
Terrence Ferguson has been, I mean, the guy's only averaging like less than 6 points a game, but defensively, he stepped in admirably for Andre Robertson, San Antonio native, by the way.
Yep.
And then, you know, Steven Adams in the paint. I mean, he's always been a defensive maniac. And then you also got Russ, like I said, offensively, he's been inconsistent, but he's exerted so much energy defensively, it's almost been okay. It's why the Thunder have still been able to win games. So, I mean, it's, you look at it, DeMar DeRozan is still going to get 20-plus points. I think, but what you're going to notice is his percentages will probably drop. He's going to take more shots, especially with Rudy Gay out. He's going to take more shots and probably miss more shots. I think who wins this game, it depends on how, because the Thunder play a style of defense where they're up in your face and you're going to get fouled. You're going to get fouled. How do the Spurs react at the free throw line?
Yeah, you know, there's so many matchups in tonight's contest. Obviously, we highlighted Westbrook versus White. We talked about Dennis Schroeder. We always the absence of Rudy Gay and how that's going to impact San Antonio. But, you know, I think, you know, as the kids say, the low-key matchup could be George versus DeRozan. I think that matchup, if they get checked on each other, and they're pretty sure they will tonight, that could determine the outcome for San Antonio and OKC, you know, which player gets better. You know, as of right now, obviously, I think George would have the advantage simply because he's a better defender, and I think he's bigger and he has more size and more length. We'll see how that goes. You know, talk about the middle. But actually, hang on. Let's take our second break. We come back. We're going to talk about the center spot and then put a wrap on this episode of Locked On Spurs. Okay, we are back, and Gerald Tracy is joining me. He's my colleague over at News 4 San Antonio. Gerald, you know, I think yesterday night I had told you, hey, what got into Schroeder? You're kind of acting like, oh, are you shocked? I mean, I guess Schroeder has always kind of been feisty, isn't he?
Yeah, if I remember correctly, he is the guy who also got, like, backed his friend up in a fight at a bar while he was in Atlanta. He, like I said, he's a little bit of a Russell Westbrook clone. Only, not, I mean, he's obviously not as good as Russ.
Yeah.
But always feisty, always trying to prove himself, has that chip on his shoulder type of guy. He's fit in well in the offense, so I don't think most Thunder fans or Thunder people who cover them will complain. But he is that kind of guy. I mean, and that's fine. That's the kind of thing you want to see from your teammates, I think. It's not it's a stupid foul, but it's also not something that like was uncalled for at the time, because it was right after the Wiggins had accidentally, or whatever you want to say, accidentally pushed Nerlens Noel down.
Yeah.
He was kind of wrestling with him, and, you know, Schroeder was like, hey, man, that was my guy. This is my guy. This is
my
team.
Yeah.
So, something you're not entirely surprised to see.
Well, you know, before the break, I talked about the middle, and we're going to see a clash of titans tonight, Aldridge versus the big man in the middle, Aquaman, right? It's really Aquaman, right? He does dual roles. He acts and he plays with the Thunder, right, Gerald?
Yeah. It's actually Aqua Jam. I'm going to copyright that. Somebody tweeted it at me a few weeks ago, and they didn't copyright it, so I'm going to go ahead and take that from them.
well, Adams versus Aldridge, the double A's, they're going to go at each other tonight. Is it safe for me to say clear advantage, Aldridge, or are you going to say it's maybe a little closer than that when it comes to these two big guys going at each other?
I think it's definitely closer. Adams is not going to be afraid to bump Aldridge, and he's not going to be afraid to play defensively and keep him out. Adams also doesn't just stick in the paint. He's going to follow Aldridge out. It depends on what kind of them, if they're in the zone or man, but, I mean, Adams will follow that man out. He will find a way to keep him in. Adams does have trouble against better centers sometimes. I mean, Anthony Davis seems to have Adams' number. But it's an interesting one to look at, especially with, you know, we're going back to a little bit of last year's style for Adams with Noel out, because with Noel out, there's nobody to come in really and be that true center.
Right. Adams. Yeah. I'm going to give the edge to Aldridge in this position. I think he can pull Adams out with his mid-range shot. He's been playing well. That is Aldridge. He may not be posting all-star numbers he did last season. You know, obviously that's because DeMar DeRozan's in town. You know, he's not the primary focus on the offensive end. Nonetheless, he did recently post back-to-back 30-point night outings. He's capable of doing that. He's already faced against some of the better bigs in the NBA so far this season, and they're playing at home. And if Aldridge can get him in foul trouble, I think the Spurs should be sitting pretty. Gerald, you follow the Thunder very close. Is there something we're missing? Is there something that if a Spurs fan was in front of you at the AT&T Center, you said, yeah, I know about Westbrook, I know about Paul George, et cetera, what is one thing you would say that might surprise them about this Thunder team heading into tonight's game versus San Antonio?
Man, I think a lot of people, they always look at it and say this is Russ's team, but right now, the way they've played in the recent 2 months or so, it's Paul George's team. Paul George is slowly and surely taking it over. He's the guy they look for whenever they need a shot. He's the one that when he starts getting hot, the team starts getting hot. This is Paul George's team. Russ has slowly, he's still doing his thing. He's still taking his shots, but he's turned the ball over to Paul George more often than not. And I think that's kind of a big deal, because Paul George is really trying to show that he is a top-tier NBA player. He's not just a, you know, second level. He's that first level. And, you've seen it probably. If you, he's not top three MVP candidate, but he's in that talk for the top six, top five guys this year just because of the way he's been playing. So I think that's an interesting way to – interesting little thing to watch. Paul George has definitely won the hearts of Oklahoma.
Well, last season, San Antonio and Oklahoma City, they split the regular season meetings to a piece. But this won't be the first time and the last time they'll see each other, because, Gerald, they play each other again a couple of nights after tonight. Are they having a playoff series right now? Is there something going on I don't know about, that the playoffs start early, Gerald?
Yeah, playoffs started early.
Yeah.
First Thunder in the first round. I would 100% take that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, right now as it stands, I believe, you know, again, this is recorded before the Memphis game. You know, I think the Thunder sit third and the Spurs sit sixth, so it could possibly happen.
Yeah, it's weird. The West is a little bit weird. I did not expect Denver to play as well as they have played.
Yeah. And considering just how beat up they are, too, I mean, do they have, like, any bodies on the court?
Yeah, it's weird, right? I mean, sooner or later they're going to have to fall, you would think, but they haven't shown that they're going to.
Well, Oklahoma City is coming in on a one-game. Oh, how many? Are they in a one-game losing streak, or they just lost the one? There are two. They're coming on a two-game losing streak. But when they're coming off a loss, like they did versus Minnesota, OKC is 8-5. So they somewhat rebound easy from a loss. So hopefully that does not happen tonight for your San Antonio Spurs. Gerald, are you more of a Spurs fan, or are you more of a Thunder fan?
I try to stay away from being fans whenever I'm covering a team, but...
But when you put your fan hat on, like when you're in fan mode,
when I put my fan hat on, sorry, San Antonio. I mean, it's a born Oklahoma, college there, cover them. I love the Thunder. I like the way the Spurs run things. I have full respect for this organization. And when the Thunder are not playing, when the Spurs are not playing the Thunder, I don't want them to lose. they're not the Mavericks or the Rockets for me. I'll say that.
Okay, well, yeah, there's that exactly. They're not the Mavericks. They're not the Rockets Spurs fans. So keep that in mind if you don't when you're thinking about pelting the Gerald with a tomato for being a Thunder, more of a Thunder of fanatic when he has his when he does not have his media hat on. So Spurs Thunder, I think is going to be a great game tonight. Gerald, prediction time. Who wins?
Oh, man, this one's a tough one because there's so many different things going on with both of these teams. As you mentioned, no Rudy Gay for the Spurs in the second leg of a back-to-back. The Thunder, no Nerlens Noel in their two-game losing streak. Spurs are home. Thunder are one of the only three teams in the Western Conference with a winning record on the road. Very close game is what I'm thinking. I'm not thinking this is going to be a blowout on any side. But with the way Russell and PG play and the way they've played in recent months, and this is, like you said, before the Memphis recording.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Spurs might start their losing streak. They might end their winning streak against the Thunder tonight. I'm going to take that one. But I don't think this is a series. It's just two-game sweep for the Thunder. So if the Thunder win tonight, I'm picking the Thunder to lose Saturday. If the Thunder lose tonight, I'm picking the Thunder to win Saturday. I don't think these teams sweep each other.
Well, I'm going to go with the home and home. I think both home teams are going to win on their home floor. San Antonio plays great at home. Depending on the outcome of the Memphis game, I don't think it doesn't really matter. The Spurs have been rising to the occasion of late. Starting off slow, but they'll get things going and pull up a W. They're, again, playing at home. They're dominating West teams at the AT&T Center. I agree with you. I think it will be very tight, and I think it'll come down to the last 4 or 5 minutes of the fourth quarter before we really see any separation. So I'm expecting a really, really good game, but I'm expecting the Spurs to win at least by 5 or 6. So it's going to be a fun game. But Gerald and I, we are done, but we want to hear from you. Now, some of y'all have been interacting with me and Gerald after these shows and they get published, so we appreciate that, but we want to see it continue. So what's the best way to do that? Well, let's start with me. So the best way to follow me and interact with me, Jeff G. Spurs Zone on Twitter, at Jeff G. Spurs Zone. Go to the Spurs Zone, News 4 San Antonio, Fox29SanAntonio.com. Search for the Spurs Zone. Content about your silver and black are there almost 24 hours. I'm getting close, Gerald. One day I'm going to be able to pull that off. But, Gerald, take it away.
You can follow me at GTracySA on Twitter, GTRACYSA, and I will tweet back with some fire hot takes.
Exactly.
We'll have some fun.
Yeah, you'll definitely have some fun with Gerald. But for Gerald Tracy, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.